As we've been talking about last week and this week, walkthroughs coming up on September 15th. I cannot encourage you enough to make sure you're here for that event. Jay made the announcement in our first service, our 8 o'clock service. Hey, listen, we strongly encourage you to be there. I don't strongly encourage you to be there. I wish I could require you to be there for walkthrough. It is that important that you be here. Last year, we had a couple of hundred people who were around tables in this room learning what the Bible had to, what the Old Testament had to say, and they memorized the Old Testament. Please make it a point to be here for that day. If you've got kids, they can be here. Teenagers, this is a wonderful thing for them to be a part of. And also, we'll have a kids event as well in the chapel on the same day. So please, if you can make it, we want you here. Clear your calendar out. We want you to attend. Last week, we began a brand new series where we're looking at the power and the practice of prayer. I mean, I can't tell you enough how vital it is that you have a deliberate time, a deliberate conversation with God on a regular basis every single day. You've got to do that. Earlier this year, Sandy and I made a trip to Niagara Falls. It was one of Sandy's bucket list items, and so we went to Niagara Falls. And I tell you what, if you've never been to Niagara Falls, you need to put that on your list as well, because it is a great trip. It's a wonderful thing to do, to spend 2 or 3 days there. On day one, we spent a whole lot of time on the Canadian side of the falls. We went under the falls, we went over the falls, we went around the falls. We did everything we could do dealing with the Canadian side of the falls, and it was simply amazing. It's an amazing trip to go on. And on day two, what we intended to do was to go over to the American side of the falls. And so the first thing in the morning on day two, we left our hotel and we stood outside of our hotel at a bus stop. You see, if we board this particular bus, it would take us to the crossing where we could cross over the bridge to the American side of the falls, where we could cross over to the United States to see the American falls. And as we're standing at the bus stop, we're debating with one another. Are we at the right bus stop? Will this be the right bus? Because understand, if we take the right bus, we will be at the Canadians or be at the American falls in a matter of 15 or 20 minutes at tops. However, if we're at the wrong bus stop, if we take the wrong bus, who knows how long it's going to take us to get there? Let me ask you this. Has a thought ever crossed your mind that you may not be where you should be? Has a thought ever crossed your mind that you may not be where you should be? And I'm not talking about a bus stop. I'm not talking about getting onto a bus. You see, for some people, it may be on a professional level. Oh, the bills are all paid. I've got a great job. But you know what? I'm just not exactly where I should be. Or maybe it's on a relationship level. It could be with short-term relationships. You know, friendships. Maybe it'd be long-term relationships. I don't know. You know, the relationships that you have, they may not be where you should be. Or it could be on a spiritual level. You see, when it comes to God, you've got this sense deep down inside of your soul that you're not where you should be. And what do you do about that? What do you do about that? You see, I really believe that the answer can be found in the prayer that Jesus prayed a long time ago that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. Now, last week I gave you a very, very simple definition of what prayer is. And here's the simple definition of prayer again this week. I want you to seat it in your mind. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. That's all it is. It's just simply a conversation with God. And the reality is God wants to have a conversation with you. And my hope is that you will become more deliberate about your prayer. You see, prayer is more than just saying grace before a meal. Prayer is more than just saying a quick prayer before you drift off to sleep at night. You see, I want you to become more deliberate about your conversation with God. And if you're more deliberate about your conversation with God, how would that impact your life? If you're more deliberate, how would it impact your family? If you're more deliberate, how would it impact our church? How would it impact your entire life? And here's another hope that I've got for this series. And the hope is this. I want you to memorize Psalm 55, verse 22. I want you to memorize that verse in the next several weeks. Because guess what? On week 4, we're going to memorize, we're going to recite this verse together without it being on the screen. Does that create a little bit of pressure for some of you? Right? So let's read this together this morning. And if you think you've got it memorized already, go ahead and close your eyes. All righty, here we go. Cast, and read it out loud with me, all righty. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will... He will... Let's read it one more time, shall we? Cast your cares upon the Lord, and He will... He will... Righteous... Exactly right. I want you to memorize that because in a couple of weeks, I'm not going to have that slide up there. You see, here's a question for you as we begin this morning. How many of you grew up in church? Raise your hands. Many of you grew up in church. A lot of you grew up in church. As you grew up in church, did you memorize the Lord's Prayer? Raise your hand. Did you memorize the Lord's Prayer? Okay, here's another question for you. Did you recite the Lord's Prayer in church? A lot of you did, right? I didn't grow up in the church, and so I didn't memorize this as a kid. We didn't recite this in the church that I went to in high school. But understand, we memorize this kind of a scripture. In fact, we memorize it to the point where we can probably recite this scripture, pretty much at will. And so what I want us to do this morning is to recite this scripture together, the Lord's Prayer. But before we get there, let me ask you this. Did you memorize the Lord's Prayer with other words than what we use today? Did you memorize the Lord's Prayer with these and thous and thine and didst and dost and, you know, all those kinds of words? You probably did. And in fact, back then when you memorized it, you didn't say those words even then. And so let's give it a go this morning. Let's read or recite for some of you the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version. Let's bring that up on the screen, could we? There we go. Let's read it out loud together, shall we? Our Father, which art in heaven... Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hold on right there. Did some of you memorize this? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Yeah, some of us did. Some of us did. Let's look at verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, for those of you who memorized that, you could say that with your eyes closed. For some of you, you might be going, what in the world? Why in the world did you do something like that in a church service? Now, the version that we use today in other translations of the Bible, you know what? Other translations of the Bible really don't have the doxology on the Lord's Prayer. You know what I'm talking about? The doxology in the Lord's Prayer? For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A lot of translations don't have that in their Bible. And do you know why that is? That's because it's not in the original text. And so when you first heard this prayer, when you first maybe memorized this prayer, did you kind of feel overwhelmed? I mean, pretty much, at least when I read it for the first time, I thought, am I supposed to pray this every single time that I pray to God? I mean, that's a lot of stuff in there. You know, give me my daily bread, forgiving my debtors, kingdom come. Am I supposed to say all those things in my prayer every single time I pray? Not necessarily. Remember what Jesus said about this? Jesus says, this is how you should pray. He did not say, this is what you should pray. Now, there are a bunch of things in this prayer. However, in spite of the fact that there is a bunch of things in this prayer, there is one central message that I believe Jesus really wants us to grab a hold of in this prayer. And that central message is this, your will be done. I think that's the central message of the prayer. Your will be done. When you consider all the aspects of the Lord's Prayer, things like our Father, kingdom come, hallowed be your name, your will be done, daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, you know, who trespass against us, you know, temptation and evil. When you think about all those things that are contained within the Lord's Prayer, you know what I think? I think all those things that are contained in the Lord's Prayer are an application of the one central message of the Lord's Prayer. And the one central message of the Lord's Prayer is this: your will be done. Your will be done. Our Father. Our Father. I believe that God wants us to refer to Him as our Father. We are a family. We are a spiritual family, and God is our Father. I believe His name is holy. His name should be hallowed. His name is sacred. It's set apart. His name is above all other names on the planet, in the universe. And I believe that it's God's will that His kingdom comes. Jesus' kingdom is one of peace. His kingdom is one of justice and eternity in heaven. And I also believe that it's God's will that we have a daily dependence on Him. Give us today our daily bread. You see, He's going to provide for our needs. And I believe, too, that it's God's will that we forgive people who sin against us. We should forgive people who sin against us just like God forgives us, are you with me, when we sin against Him. We should forgive others when they sin against us just like God forgives us when we sin against Him. And I also believe that it's God's will that we're not dragged away by our own evil desires. I believe it's God's will that we're not delivered, that we're delivered from Satan, that we're delivered from our enemy. Understand, Satan is hell-bent on getting us off the will of God. You see, the main message that Jesus was trying to get across here in the Lord's Prayer was this. And the main message that Jesus wants us to internalize is that His will be done. His will, not my will. His ways, not my ways. His purpose, not my purpose. His glory, not my glory. More of Him and less of me. More of Him and less of you. That's God's will. In fact, on the night that Jesus was arrested, you know, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think we see there a picture from the prayer that Jesus prayed. You see, when Jesus was there, this is what He prayed. Not all of it, but this is what Jesus prayed. He prayed in Matthew 26:39, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Did you notice what He said right there at the end of that verse? He said, "Not as I will, but as you will." Now, this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane took place the night before Jesus was crucified. And you know what? I'm thinking with Jesus' prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't a short verse. It wasn't just a short burst of verses. It was a long prayer. It was an agonizing prayer. It was a deeply, intentionally personal prayer. Yet the piece of the prayer that three of the gospel writers all got together, the piece of the prayer that three of the gospel writers chose to record is this: not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. Jesus prayed that three times alone in Matthew chapter 26. And I don't think that's an accident. Jesus prayed it three different times in Matthew chapter 26. He taught it and He lived it. Not my will, God, but your will be done. And when push came to shove, this was the prayer that Jesus was praying. Not my will, but your will be done. You see, that's the central message. That's the central message. Now, with that being the central message, here's the central statement. And I hope you get it, and I hope you tuck it away. Here's the central statement. Prayer aligns our plans with God's purposes. Prayer aligns God's plans with our purposes. And the key word there is the word aligns. When you hear the word align, or when you hear the word alignment, what do you automatically think of? For me, I automatically think of my car or my truck. I hope it's in alignment. You see, if your alignment is off, it's going to drift to one side of the road or it's going to drift to another side of the road. And the more you ignore the alignment that's off in your vehicle, the worse it's going to get. Now, Sandy and I lived in Lakewood, Colorado for a number of years. In fact, we lived there for 3 years. And Lakewood, Colorado is on the far west side of Denver. It's a small little bedroom community of 145,000 people. And we live right up next to the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It was a gorgeous place for us to live. We just absolutely loved living there. And I say, you know what? We lived there for 3 years. However, if you stop and talk with Sandy for any length of time, and if I mention as we're talking with one another that I lived there for 3 years, you know what she'll do? You may have lived there for 3 years, but I lived there for 3 years and 7 months. Okay? You see, Sandy wanted to be here with me, but she stayed back in Colorado for an extra 7 months or so in order for the house to sell. And so whenever I say, well, we lived there for 3 years, you lived there for 3 years, I lived there for 3 years and 7 months. She's not a bitter woman, is she? Not at all. Anyway, what's really weird, while we lived there for three years and 7 months, what's really weird is this. The car that we had had to be realigned 4 different times. Yeah, me too. I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? It had to be realigned again and again and again. Now, we had a Durango out there as well. And that Durango, we took on roads, going back into lakes up in the mountains and climbing rocks. And that thing never had to be realigned once, not once. But this car had to be realigned a time and time again. However, then, when we moved to Kokomo, Indiana, do you know what stopped with that car? We no longer had to have it realigned. I have no idea why we had to have that car realigned out in Colorado 4 different times in the time that we'd lived there. It may have been the altitude. I'm not sure. I kind of doubt it, but who knows what happened. You see, here's my point. Here's my point. When your alignment is off, you begin to drift, right? When your alignment's off, you begin to drift. And I think that's true when it comes to our spiritual lives. You see, we were born into a broken world, and we've got the natural inclination to drift away from God. We don't have the natural inclination to drift toward God. We've got the natural inclination to drift away from God. And so if you're doing nothing deliberate, if you're doing nothing intentional with your spiritual life, if you take your hands off the wheel, you will drift away from God. And the longer you leave it, the worse it's going to get. And guess what? The worse it gets, you'll begin to drift into lanes in your life that you never thought you'd be in to begin with. Far, far away from God. And so what prayer does is this. When you pray, your will be done in my life, God, that aligns your plans with God's purposes. Now, before Jesus gives us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, before he gives that, he says some really interesting things about prayer. Look at one of them, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. He says there, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't make your prayers a public spectacle. Don't do that, he says. Look down at verse 7. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling. Have you ever talked to a person, they just keep on babbling and babbling and babbling and babbling. They just don't make a whole lot of sense. Jesus says, when you pray to God, don't do that. And you notice too, did you notice too what he said there? He said, when you pray. He did not say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray, it's when you pray. You see, Jesus Christ has the clear expectation of his followers that prayer is a non-negotiable. Prayer is a non-negotiable. Jesus didn't say, it'd be nice if you pray. It'd be nice if you carved out some time once a week to have a prayer in church. No, he said, when you pray, he has a clear expectation that we pray. In fact, he has a clear expectation that we pray more than once a week. He has a clear expectation that we keep in constant prayer with him, constant communication with him. You see, prayer keeps us in alignment with God's purposes. Have you ever heard people say, well, it's in God's plan. It's all in God's plan. God had a plan. It's all in God's plan. You know, maybe you've got a friend of yours who's going through a really, really rough time. And you're trying to console them. You're trying to help them. You're trying to comfort them. You pray with them. And finally you say, well, you know what? It all just must be in God's plan. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure that God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. You see, when we say God has a plan, that implies, at least in my mind, it implies that God is saying, hey, go here and turn right. Go down 3 blocks to the stoplights and turn left. And then go down 3 miles out of town. And you see that big old oak tree? It's about, I don't know, about 5 feet in diameter. When you get to that big old oak tree, then you want to turn right again. And then you want to go 3 miles. You hit the big rock there at the intersection. Then you want to turn right. And then you go down there another 2 miles. And you ford the creek. And then once you go through the creek, then you'll get to your destination. I'm not so sure God has a plan. Because if you somehow miss that exact sequence of events, then you've missed God's plan for your life. I think more than a plan, I think God has a purpose for your life. And any number of plans, whether good or bad, God can work through those plans for His purpose. You see, far too many of us make plans without ever consulting God. Far too many of us make plans without even praying. Far too many of us make plans without asking God, what's your will in this situation, God? You see, so many people go through life and we drift into lanes. We drift into lanes that are taking us away from God. And some people do that for years. Some people even do that for decades. And then they get down the road in their life and then they ask the question, where in the world am I? I don't think I'm supposed to be where I'm supposed to be. Duh, really? You don't think you're supposed to be there? You see, you're sitting on decades, quite possibly, of plans that you never asked God, God, what's your will? God, what's your purpose? God, what are your plans for my life? You see, though, here's the good news. God has a purpose for your life. Your plans may have taken you down a wrong road. Your plans in life may have taken you down another road, a rabbit trail here and a rabbit trail there. But you know what? God can still work His purpose, even though you went down that road and that road and that rabbit trail. God can still work out His purpose in spite of the bad roads you've gone down in your life. It starts, though, with you saying to God, God, what's your will? Not my will here, God, but what's your will? You see, prayer aligns our plans with God's purposes. I like what Paul said in Philippians 2:13. He says, For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God wants to accomplish things through you. God wants to do great things in powerful ways through you. But it takes you aligning your plans with what He wants. You see, prayer aligns your plans with His purposes. I mean, we see that in vivid color, don't we? We see that in vivid color there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you know what you see in the Garden of Gethsemane? What's really, really cool? What you see in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is there with the disciples, you see Jesus' humanity clashing with His divinity. It is so cool. And remember what He prayed there in Matthew 26:39? He prayed there, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." And do you see what Jesus is requesting from the Father? He's asking God, is it possible that this cup of suffering, God, is it possible that this cup of wrath that's going to be poured out on me for the sins of all humanity, God, is it possible that this cup that's going to be poured out on me be taken away from me? God, do I have to go to the cross? God, do I have to be crucified? God, do I have to be tortured and humiliated? God, is there a plan B? Is there a plan B for this whole thing? And Jesus arrives at the conclusion not my plans, not plan B, but your purpose. Not my will, God, but your will be done. I mean, what would the Son of God have to believe about his Father in heaven in order for him to arrive at that kind of a conclusion? What would he have to believe? He would have to believe that God knows what's best. He would have to believe that God really does love him. He would have to believe that God really knows him. Therefore, Jesus submitted his will to God's will. I've got three boys, Landon, Josh, and Caleb. And my boys know me well. They know their dad very, very well. They know what I like to eat and what I don't like to eat. They know that I like a lot of meat and I don't like green food, okay? They know me. My boys know what sports I like. They know I love basketball. They know I love football. They know I love baseball. They know I can do a little bit of soccer. I can do a little bit of rugby. But man, those are the big three. I grew up with that. I love those sports. They know the things that make me laugh. They know the kind of humor I like. They know the kind of cartoons, the Far Side kind of cartoons. I love that kind of stuff. They know I like that kind of stuff. And they know the stuff that really upsets me. You see, my kids know me well. My boys know me well. Let me ask you this. Do you know your Father? Do you know the Father in heaven? Do you know him well? I mean, so many of us want to know God's will, but we don't even know God. So many of us want to know what God's will is for my life, but we don't even pray. So many of us want to know what God's will is for our lives, but we don't even crack open the Bible. I mean, how can we expect to align our plans with his purposes when we don't even know the Father? How can we expect to know his will when we don't even know him? I mean, Jesus knew the Father intimately. And it was through that relationship that he was able to understand his purpose for his life, his purpose for the world. Look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Isn't that a beautiful way of saying, God, your will be done in my life. God, I'm giving you my heart. God, I'm giving you my mind. God, I'm trusting in you. God, I'm not going to trust in me anymore. God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to be leaning into you to guide me in life, God. And then look down at verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I mean, isn't that a great way to talk about prayer? When you're driving, when you're about to have a difficult conversation with someone, when you're just going to have a cup of coffee or maybe a Coke with someone, you're thinking about God. He's on your mind. He's in your soul. And here's the result of trusting. Here's the result of leaning. Here's the result of acknowledging. Look at verse 6 again. Here's the result. And he will make straight your paths. He will keep your alignment straight and true. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will. I love that, don't you? Verse 6, seek his will. And that's precisely what Jesus did. Jesus came to the Father. He made his request. God, can this cup of suffering, this cup of wrath that you've intended to pour out on me, God, can that cup be taken away from me? And that's a green light for us. We can go to God and we can say, God, would you please take this away? God, would you please give me that? God, would you please bless me in this way? And God, boy, I've got way too much blessing in that department right now. You know, we can go to God with all of our requests, but we need to ask God, God, what's your will here? God, what do you want here? God, what's your purpose here? God, what's your intention here? And because Jesus submitted his will to the Father, because Jesus submitted his plan to the Father, he was able to understand the purpose behind everything. And the purpose behind it all, with Jesus going to the cross, the purpose was to provide salvation for the world. Salvation for you and me. And because Jesus said yes to God's will, because Jesus said yes to God's will, a knucklehead like Lynn Coleman, and I do mean a knucklehead like Lynn Coleman, had his debt paid for, and now he has a new life, and now he has a new beginning. And aren't you glad Jesus said yes? Aren't you glad Jesus says, your will be done? You see, it's God's will that not just this knucklehead got salvation, but it's God's will that you get salvation, that you have a relationship with him. And the final question is, do you have a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm hoping the answer is yes. And if not, let's talk. We've got a class going on right now. Last week we had 20-some people in it who are wanting to become members of Fairfield Christian. Or they've already become members of Fairfield Christian. And man, I tell you what, I would love for you to learn more about the Lord so that you can be in a relationship with him. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the chance to be here today. God, we thank you so much for the insight that this prayer, Jesus' model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, has given every single one of us. And God, I pray that we are walking in your will, that we would submit our plans to your purpose. And if our plans don't line up, God, please change them. And please help us to be good with the changes that need to be made. Father God, if there's anybody here who doesn't have that relationship with you, God, I pray that you'd work in their life. Bring them to the point where they say, you know what, I want to be a part of the team. I want to be a part of the family. God, bless us, please, as we each make decisions for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision today to make, man, I tell you what, let's get together and let's talk. I'll meet you up front. Let's all stand and sing together.